Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on over there? Fire?
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
What's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox. Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bow,
bow, bow. No Red Sox.
Hit me like a bow, bow, bow.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
They say they have the best draft in the entire...
Hello, Adam Krell here from Downtown Vision to teach you jaguaring. What's jaguaring, you ask? It's a simple movement like T-bowing or planking that shows support of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Okay, so now what I'm going to do is show you the steps on jaguaring. Step one, put your claws up. Step two, move to the side. Step three, down. Jaguaring. Alright, so here we are with Visit Jacksonville, and I'm gonna teach you. Okay, so step one, claws up.
Claws up.
To the side.
This side.
And down. Alright, so here we are today with Mark and Anna from the Big 8 Morning Mess at 95.1 WAPE.
Hi!
I'm gonna teach you guys how to jaguar today.
Jaguar! Woo!
We have a really extensive process.
It is?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Three steps.
Pay attention.
Pay attention. Are you ready? Okay. Step one, put your claws up. Step two, go to the side.
Oh, which side?
It doesn't matter, it doesn't matter. And then step three, bend your knees. And that's jaguaring.
Oh, that's
ready?
It?
Oh, that's it?
Yeah. That's so easy.
Yeah. Okay, ready? And jaguar. Awesome. Love it.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program, Town Fair Tire Studios. You can give us a call at 617-779-0985. And that was the how it all started. You got the terrible towel.
The jag rag.
You got...
I'm not joking.
Yeah.
It's called the jag rag.
Yeah, it's the jag rag. It's very hard to maneuver around. You got to get it out of your hamper. It's a whole situation when you do that. You got to hide it.
Yeah.
But the jag rag, that never occurred to anybody in any kind of marketing capacity that was a bad name for something, that if you drop it, it cracks.
It stands up on its own. They put one on every single one of their seats, and as people walked in, sitting right there, when you took a seat and you found where you were for the game, right there underneath you was something that said Jagrag on it.
And in the Jacksonville, it was very confusing because people looked at it as an opportunity to go out it.
People have no control of themselves in Jacksonville.
Hey, are we out of delay?
Are we? Oh, no.
Okay, because those things don't say 8 seconds on them.
You see back there?
It's a good question. I'll look into it.
Oh, super. That's always nice.
So we can fly. No, Fred, can you see the one over there that says 20?
Yeah.
To the left. Okay. Almost over by the window.
Okay. No, I can't see it. All right. So, yes, the Jacksonville Jaguars will have the jag rags in effect this Sunday, and it will be an exciting time for everyone as a replay of, or a rematch, I should say, of the 2018 AFC Championship game.
Mm-hmm.
A game in which there was much controversy because Miles Jack didn't fumble. There was a bunch of stuff going on, and the Patriots walk away with that win.
Apparently, the Sky Riders, Jaguars fans, have hired a plane to fly above the stadium, and the sign will say, Miles Jack was not down.
That's right.
That'll intimidate the hell out of the Patriots and change the landscape of the whole game.
I think it's more of a goof that the guys got together and made it, and then we'll talk about it, and people will talk about it.
Sure.
And then you've won. You've got a slice of history. That's right. Miles Jack didn't fall. Miles Jack was not down, is what you would say. Miles Jack, who had to take a year off He was drafted on promise, right? He was out of Notre Dame, right? And he had hurt his knee.
Was it Notre Dame or UCLA? I thought it was UCLA.
It was UCLA, right. And he was hurt, and he was so good that they took a chance on him, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, yesterday, I've never seen anything like what was happening on TV yesterday in Andover. Does Marshall Hook live there?
No, he lives just north of there.
Okay, because Marshall Hook was on Twitter, and he was like in the town when all this stuff was going on. So obviously you know the story now that this gas main company, Columbia Gas, they're saying that investigators are focusing on this pressurization of a gas main that they had started working on last week. It serves about 50,000 people like around Lawrence and Andover. And if you saw the video that they were showing on the news that was a helicopter shot of the city, you would see about every two blocks a house up in flames. And it got to the point where I think they're saying the number now is over 100 house fires and explosions. And there was a point where, according to Marshall Hook, he was in front of a home that had been on fire for over 30 minutes before any fire truck could show up because there were so many fires in town. So they used to sit there and let it just smolder because there's just weren't enough people to go there and help, not enough firefighters. So it was a situation where people were going into their home and they were smelling this gas and figuring, you know, did I leave the gas on? And all of a sudden, people were getting calls saying, get the hell out of there. Houses are exploding because there's so much overpressurized gas that's coming in there. As a matter of fact, they're trying to explain just how all of this happened, like how a house can just ignite. And according to some of the explanations that they've had experts on, this is from the Globe this morning, so the reason some houses remain intact while others ignited was because of the volatile nature of the gas. Too much gas would make it unlikely to be flammable, as well as too little. To cause a fire, just the right amount of gas is required, as well as some kind of ignition source, they said, which could have been a light switch, even a water heater, or possibly a telephone call. So that's another thing. So you've got these houses where you could have a fire ignited by a simple telephone call, and there's robocalls going out telling people to get out of their homes. They said if you have the right amount of gas, every pilot light could become a blowtorch. They said it was possible that a utility crew working in the area could have connected the wrong pipes, transferring the high-pressure main into a low-pressure pipe that feeds directly into the homes.
Would you like to be responsible for that?
It's unreal. They said
luckily, there's only one fatality.
Well, and that's awful. There was an 18-year-old kid who was sitting in his driveway. And when one of the homes exploded, the chimney blew off and smashed him inside the car. But there's a bunch of people obviously in the hospital. He said a similar incident occurred in 2015 in Lexington, or 2005 in Lexington, when workers received an erroneous work order that caused the crew to connect a high pressure gas line to a low pressure one, triggering the destruction of one house and near explosions at seven others. And if you saw it yesterday, and then the power company said, well, we have to turn all the power out because they didn't want to be the ones responsible for,
sure,
as you said, like igniting whatever fire in the home. So around 4:30, I think, was the first explosion. And it was not too long after that they turned off all of the power. And so there's people just walking around not knowing when they can go back to their homes.
Homeowners had to physically go home and turn off their gas outside their house.
But they also, the fire department was going by and turning off gas.
Well, there's also I've just residents who are going and helping people turn off the gas. And meanwhile, worrying whether or not their house was going to catch on fire.
Gas company has to check 8,000 meters today to see or try and lock down where this whole thing started. It is amazing the amount of work that is ahead of the people up there.
There was this is kind of funny. One of our listeners actually wrote us, and he was talking about, he said, this evening I talked to my parents on the phone who retired and have lived in Wilmington, North Carolina for 17 years and have evacuated to my sister's house in Georgia. They were watching national news coverage about Hurricane Florence, or we were, when the news flash came across about the gas explosions in North Andover. My parents' house is in North Carolina, about 5 feet above sea level. By all accounts, will be devastated if not completely destroyed by the storm surge, but they called to make sure my family was okay, and we are. I could barely wrap my head around what's happened in the last 24 hours, but you should know that Sports Talk Radio provided a distraction. He said, it's not only entertaining, but necessary. Then he goes, no joke, I got home in North Andover around 5:45, and our home phone voicemail had an automated message from the town. Expecting an emergency announcement, the actual message was to let town residents know that there will be fireworks at Merrimack College on Friday night. I'm not kidding. So that was the phone call.
Friday night?
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
I have no idea.
Was there fireworks?
That was something that John from Andover said, from North Andover. So.
Very random. And why would they call you to tell you?
I have no idea.
That seems like a big inconvenience. I would not want that.
So you just, I mean, and then even more like sobering is when you saw the maps that they were putting out with the dots on it where all the house explosions were. And it's just, it's a sea of dots. I mean, it was, I think they said it had reached over 100 house fires by the time it was all said and done. And now you've got all these people who are displaced and don't know whether they can go back. Dan Roach, I know, lives in that area. He, from all I'm hearing, and we've been trying to text back and forth him just to make sure he's okay, but you were telling me that he was able to get out all right?
Yeah, I texted back and forth with Dan last night, and yeah, he and his wife were able to get to the house, turn off the gas, and he stayed with his mother-in-law last night. So he's been displaced. He doesn't know when he can go back, but yeah, he spent the night away from his home.
Yeah,
did his house blow up?
He does not know that.
But if he turned off the gas, probably not.
Probably, yes. He physically went to his home, turned off the gas, and left.
I wouldn't even know how to do that.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. That's the thing. I wouldn't know how to turn off the actual gas in my home.
Well, you wouldn't have to.
Yeah, I guess there would be someone in the building would. But I would have no idea how to do that.
Yeah, I don't know how to do
it. I don't know either.
So I know that there was like some guys who did who were trying to help people out and run around while houses were on fire and turn off people's gas. So to them, you know, God bless them. But all these people are displaced right now. I know that there's a bunch of, you know, high schools that open on the outside of town, and there's people trying to find hotels. But I mean, just I've never seen anything like that before in my life. I think that they're supposed to talk in a couple hours. I think like around the 8 o'clock hour, someone's supposed to say a timeline as to when these people can go back. But it's going to take a while. The way it was described by everyone was like Armageddon, because you would just go down the street and like every, you know, that you would see every block, there'd be a house that was on fire. There'd be fire trucks going everywhere. And the power was out, like all the restaurants, you know, like you'd go by McDonald's and Dunkin' Donuts and everything is shut down in the town. And there's cops with using flashlights to direct traffic because they didn't want the traffic lights to be on. The
scary part is you mentioned this earlier, no one is sure why this happened and how it started.
Well, there were some like really like irresponsible rumors being floated out there last night. And I was like, I mean, I just random people coming out there and trying to roll with it, like the FBI is involved, and like there was a cyber attack that shut down the gas, and to stuff like that. It's like you got to calm down when things like that happen. And then there's people like retweeting it, you know, from like these nut job websites.
Bruce, go ahead.
Hey, Rich, I hear you guys talking. I actually live in Andover, and we got a reverse 911 call last night, and had to immediately shut off our gas and get out of the house. And we took off. We were fortunate that we had another family home to get to up in the Seabrook area. But I'm on the road trying to get back in there now. It took us well over an hour and a half to get out of Andover. The roads were gridlocked. Ended up actually having to drive south to Peabody to wrap out around the community to get out. Fire trucks everywhere in the community. I don't even know what I'm going to go home to. Crazy.
What was the closest house fire to where you guys were when you left? What did you see?
When we left, probably two streets over, fire truck ladder apparatus was set up, and then we went another two streets and another one was set up.
Yeah.
We were right across from the high school area in Andover, and I've heard people describing it as Armageddon. I mean, literally, I ran into our basement, shut our gas off, came out, and people are just like out on the street kind of dazed and looking around like, what is going on? It was just the craziest thing. I've never experienced anything like it.
What are you hearing as far as when you're able to go back? I know you're saying you're attempting to today. Has there been any official, has anyone talked to you about whether or not it's you're in the clear?
Well, my brother-in-law is an Andover firefighter, and he's on and he's been on. He's texted us a couple of times, but you know, right after we got the 911 call, his wife called us and said, Dan said, get out of the house. Just leave the house. And they happened to be coming back from Central Catholic High School, picking up their daughters, his wife. And he said, don't even go to the house. And, you know, I'm a livery driver. I'm actually headed back across Route 133 now through Georgetown and stuff. Because you can't even get off exits on 495 to get back into the community.
Yeah, that's what we heard. They had blocked all those exits off.
Yeah, so I'm trying to cut through, you know, Georgetown, Bloxford, and come in from that side and get back into the area. But, I mean, I don't even have anybody at my house to go in, so that they're going door to door, and they want to make sure that the house is, you know, volume of gas is not collected in the house before they'll reestablish it. So somebody's got to get back there to be able to go in with them. So that's my goal to them now. But I thank God I'm safe, my family's safe, and I thank God for these first responders, because I'll tell you, they are like just knocking door to door to door to door to door, going through and verifying that this stuff is a safe environment to go back into.
Yeah, those dudes were badasses. They were showing on the news, there was one overhead shot of a house that had that dark black billowing smoke just coming out of the top floor, and on the bottom floor, you saw a firefighter going in, trying to see if there was anybody still in there.
When we were driving away, literally driving away, rancid smoke in the air and just billowing smoke. And I mean, as you got to any location where you could see over into Lawrence, the helicopters flying around, smoke everywhere over there, it's just, it was the craziest feeling. You're like, what is going on? So
I can only imagine.
I consider myself fortunate. And I also consider you guys like a lifesaver, because all I've been listening to all night is news, and it's kind of like, all right, I got to hear something else. So yeah, well, I know it's the same.
Well,
you guys are doing some good reporting, but
you will hear something else coming up in just a moment. Bruce.
We'll get your mind off of it for a little bit.
Godspeed. There you go. Bruce.
Yeah. Hey, thank you very much. Really appreciate what you guys are doing.
Thanks, man.
As a service to people, I know the daylight's coming out now, but even in their house, like if they've turned off the power, you can't light a candle.
I've heard about that. They were saying that last night in the news. I'm like, what are you thinking? Like, God. If you got no power, it's like they actually had to tell people, do not bust out the candles.
Right.
Right, exactly. You basically can't do anything that could cause any remote electronic spark in your home.
No smokes.
People just have to listen and stay out of their home until they're told it's safe to go back in.
All right, Bruce, thank you for all that. Yeah. All right, as we move on. Oh, you can't. It's five times. Yeah. All right, so what do we got coming up, Rich?
Oh, even at 101 wins, the bullpen is still terrifying. I can hear John Wallach screaming at his television.
I want Joe Kelly shot.
No, I'm kidding. I don't want a shot. That's a little far, John.
I know.
Let's pay you back for that Tebow thing.
Yeah.
Wow, John. I don't know if that's necessary. That seems like something that would...
egads.
That I wouldn't say.
The war of words between Jalen Ramsey and Gronk is still on, and there's actually a war of words between a member of the Patriots and a member of our radio station. So we'll get into some of
that
stuff.
We will explore even further at 8:20.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
John Wallach was having himself a fantastic day, and
he was partying. He was going. He was out on the, you know, on the telephone pole.
He's the most miserable person to be a fan of a team with 101 wins. But even at 101 wins, the bullpen is terrifying.
Sandy Leon getting most of the playing time. Oh,
deep drive right field. Richard taking off. He's turning around and kiss that one goodbye. There's 41 for J.D. Martinez to put the Red Sox on the board.
J-D-K-I-S-S-I-N-G. Smooch. That's the new one.
Give him a little smooch.
Really? Oh, yeah.
We're out with salamis are out smooches.
Salamis for the enemy. Now it's smooch.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
The bat, give him a little kiss.
Okay. Well, by the way, that is Nesson, and what happened last night and all the smooches are brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts.
Double smooches for the O'Brien fella.
Enjoy a large or extra large Dunkin' coffee for a chance to win great prizes today.
A grand salami is a
no purchase necessary, 13 plus, ends October 15th or while supplies last. For a game piece and official rules, visit sippeelwin.com and give yourself a little smooch. Well, the Red Sox escaped last night's game against the Blue Jays with a 4-3 win. However, it took a fielding gaffe by Toronto to make it happen after an eighth-inning meltdown by Boston's bullpen. Now, Eduardo Rodriguez, he did his job. He pitched six efficient innings, and going into the eighth, the Sox led by 3-1. Everything seems smooth sailing. That's where Bobby Pointer takes the mound and gives up a homer. Then Alex Cora turns to Joe Kelly and with two outs. And it was there that Joe Kelly didn't retire one single batter. Yeah,
can you imagine if you're Cora in the playoffs and you have to manage that bullpen? Every night you have to...
Well, it's open auditions now. They're looking for a guy who can pitch the eighth. Pointer was given his chance, but he gave up an extra base hit.
But, John, they're not going to find the answer in the last 3 weeks.
No kidding.
All right. So if I'm Cora, every single game I have to make a decision that could blow up in my face.
But is that Cora's fault? It's like he doesn't have the tools.
I'm not saying it's Cora's fault.
I didn't say it was Cora's fault.
Cora said after the game, I have to remember that when Wright is pitching, I can't watch. I have to look away.
Yeah, you said
is that. That's what you want in the eighth inning? I mean, like honestly, a knuckleballer shouldn't be pitching in the eighth inning of a playoff game, but this is what we're down to.
You don't remember Wakefield, and now he took over for Pittsburgh. Do you? But the thing is that this is not going to get any better. And, the other teams in the American League, the Yankees are established. Houston is established. Cleveland's obviously established. In
they got Brad Hand in a massive trade with San Diego. They have their closer, and their closer now pitches the eighth inning. I mean, they're set. I mean, the Red Sox are 55 games over 500. They're 15-15 against playoff teams. They're under 500 against Houston and Oakland. They're 2-2 against Cleveland, and they have a 3-game series with them coming up next week. I mean, this is not a walkover, and this bullpen problem is a gigantic hurdle to overcome.
So my point is that the managers of the other playoff teams in the American League, kind of can put it in autopilot if you have a lead.
A plan. You got, this guy's going to pitch the eighth. This guy's going to pitch the ninth.
Right.
I still don't have an eighth guy.
If I need to have a guy like a Miller pitch the seventh and the eighth, I can do that as well. So this is the only team in the AL that's going to make the playoffs that has that kind of decision making.
Well, here is Joe Kelly's night. He walked a guy on four pitches, then gave up a single before hitting a dude with a pitch. And then with the bases loaded, Kelly does this.
Here's the 1-2 from Kelly. That hit him, and that's going to force in a run.
What's he saying? Swinging. What's that?
Oh, no.
He's not swinging. He asked the umpire at first, did he swing? And he said no.
He definitely hit him to force in a run and tie the ball game.
That was
Kevin
after...
Pillar. Kevin Pillar was trying to strike out in that at-bat. Joe Kelly threw two fastballs at eye level. Pillar swung and missed at both of them. Had him in an 0-2 hole and then wasted a pitch, threw it even higher. Pillar finally didn't swing and then hit him with a pitch with the bases loaded. Pillar's up there trying to get out to end the inning, and Kelly couldn't finish him.
Well, thankfully, Brandon Workman was able to come in and actually finish the inning, and then the Sox get a little luck.
And popped him up. Racing out, second baseman Solarte. Coming on, Grichik, and he grabs it!
I knew it!
Here comes the run!
You got to isolate everything Eckersley says. Here comes Wendy Whoppers.
Oh, no. Double airbags. Come on now. Bosoms.
Oh, he got smoked. Wow.
Well, I mean, it was an ugly way to win.
Your friend just lost a big drag race. What happened?
Oh, man.
Well, what happened?
He got smoked.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. Now it's going to be trading pink slips.
And the players get an opportunity to use their nicknames, the ones they choose, on their backs.
Well, that's right. Coming up this weekend?
Yep.
Right. I want to be Bridgemaster.
I don't even know what that means.
Because Bridgemaster?
Because he smokes it on the bridges?
No, that's because running that train, I'm in the middle.
On a bridge.
Called the bridge.
He's the bridge between the two of them. I see.
Like, in case you fall apart.
Right. He's the one who...
You can let the ship through.
Right. He's the guy. Well, it was an ugly way to win.
He had another good one, too. Guy who throws a lot of fastballs. You know what he's called now? Gas Masterson. Did you hear that?
I didn't even say that yesterday. He used gas a lot last night. A lot. Which he, of course, does anyway. But Alex Cora was talking about the problems with Joe Kelly after the game.
He didn't execute tonight. He's been good lately, but today he wasn't.
No, he hasn't.
He needs to get better. He needs to get get better, and he knows that today wasn't a great night for him. But we trust the guy. I mean, it's two outs in the eighth. We expect him to go out there and get the out, but he didn't do it today. But if we got a situation tomorrow that we can bring him in and kind of like the same scenario, we'll bring him in.
Did he forget the meltdown against Houston? He's now giving up five runs in his last three and a third. He was good up until the beginning of this month. Which, of course, September is the month you want him to implode right before the playoffs.
They called me the gas master, just me and a couple nitrous cartridges, and we're having the time of our lives.
Blue lips! Oh, man.
Blue lips.
if you inhale enough nitrous, you get blue lips!
When I would play with him in 78, I was a maniac.
Yes, you were.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, they have a series against the Mets starting up, and John, once again, sitting there not enjoying any of this, despite the fact that in five games, they're going to set the all-time Red Sox record for wins.
Sure, you promised me a T-shirt. You said you were going to buy me a T-shirt.
Oh, sure.
Where's that?
Because they'll be, well, they got to win.
Oh, I was promised a 100-win T-shirt.
Well, I've been down to Fenway. You know what? I'm actually going there Saturday.
Fine, fantastic. I can't wait. I'll wear it with pride on Tuesday before it becomes obsolete.
Are the Mets here or away?
Here, it's here.
Okay,
yeah, it's
David Wright is having that last game.
I thought he wasn't going to play until the end of the month.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know if it. He's playing at home, so I didn't know if they were going to do it now. All right, we will be back, Rich. What will we discuss?
We will talk about the war of words between Jalen Ramsey and Rob Gronkowski.
All right, here are the headlines.
Stay tuned for Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Luchini pouring from the sky, let's get rich, what? The Geeky Vines and Sugar Dimes can't quit, what? Now pop the crocus in the Vega and get lit, what?
Introduce 98.5 The Sports Up. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on?
Well, Jalen Ramsey's made quite the name for himself, talking trash on other players. I encourage that if you're an athlete out there.
It's been delightful. I want more.
Yep, I like it. And he called out Rob Gronkowski a little while back, saying that he was overrated. And yesterday, Jalen Ramsey did the whole press junket deal before this game, and he was asked, could you please clarify that statement?
I asked your defensive coordinator, if someone says Rob Gronkowski is overrated, what would you say to that person? He said, he's crazy.
Might be crazy. I don't care.
You call him the best ever, and you're not going there. You're saying, I guess he's...
He good. He good, nah. We ain't gonna get it twisted. He's good, but, you saying this to me, is it supposed to, like, bring fear to me or something? Like, all right, then. I don't fear no man, period. So he going to have to come out there and line up on me. Or however it goes. I mean, he got to play us this year. So.
Very nice. I like it. Not backing down. However, he said this isn't just a special thing for Rob Gronkowski. He would feel that way about his own family if he had to play against him.
When you play the game of football, I feel like to respect the game, you have to play it fierce. You got to play it. I don't believe in having friends on the field. Like, I mean, my brother, my dad, my mom, grandma was out there. Like, it's on. Like, after the game, we can be cool. It doesn't matter.
You wouldn't really hit your grandma.
No, I definitely would. She know that. My grandma know that. I love you, but she know that.
Will she get you back?
Will she hit me back? Grandma might not get up from one of my legs.
Yeah, if you hit your grandmother, I would imagine you could do great damage.
Yeah, I mean,
you're a professional athlete.
I wouldn't really even brag about that because, no. I mean, you know.
I mean, I could probably hit someone's grandma and knock the hell out of them.
Yeah, and that probably would be a hit that would make it so they couldn't get back up, like Jalen Ramsey said. So
yeah. My grandmother has passed, both of them.
Unless
deal with it.
Unless the grandma's got a rolling pin, a stereotypical rolling pin,
and she's in, and she handicapped comes back drunk,
and then, just pops him over the head.
Yeah, and she says, and he goes, "Hey, you're drunk again, Andy."
Andy Cap. Who read that? Like, who is a fan
me.
Of that?
Me and Wallach.
Damn right I read that.
He was just a charming alcoholic.
Top left-hand corner of the funnies every Sunday. Sure.
Hey, love. Did you ever see the one where he was the gynecologist on the Family Guy? And she goes, how can you even see anything? Your cap's over your eyes. He goes, I do it by smell, love.
Oh, my God.
I did not see that. Did you see the Andy Cap pub fries, like right next to the Funyuns?
Oh, yeah. No, I've seen
remember those.
Those?
Oh, yeah.
I like the idea that Andy Cap was such a cultural icon that you just pop him on a bag of chips.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that was like Life with Louie Pasta. There was Louie Anderson cartoon pasta that Franco-American, or Chef Boyardee actually put out there.
Well, eat these in the closet while your father is in a drunken rage.
Maybe I'll pick one of these cans up and throw it at my head.
I used to eat them cold in the closet where my father ran around in an alcoholic rage. Hey, you're a talented comic. You need a place to stay.
I was about to say, I'm surprised you haven't offered one to David Spade yet.
David Spade, huh? Where are you from, Arizona? Okay. Want to come stay at my place?
That's for SpaghettiOs. They look like me. Well, Gronk was on the NFL Network with Willie McGinnis and Lindsey Rhodes, and he was asked about Jalen Ramsey's comments.
You're kind of an average tight end, and you're pretty
he's
good.
He's not that great.
You're
he's
not that great.
Get it right. Get it right.
No, I definitely expect him to be covered up on me at least a couple times throughout the game.
Gronk, you want a one-on-one with him, don't you? I mean, after somebody talks the way that they
say it
talk,
with your chest,
like,
dog. Do not back down from this one.
Hey, like I said, I'm ready for all situations.
Okay.
Definitely not backing down in any situation.
That's right.
And I'm sure it's going to happen. I'm sure he's going to come inside. I'm going to go outside. Whatever it is, it's going to happen. It'll be interesting this Sunday.
Hey, Gronk, we're having a lot of fun, man. Do you mind sticking around?
No problem. Anything for you, Willie.
What was that?
What? Why?
What was that?
Why did that make her hysterical?
Maybe we're back to the nitrous situation.
It sounded like the tea was ready.
Was anything for you, Willie? Because Willie also means penis. Because that's the only thing I can think of. Now that's not funny, but
no.
I'm spitballing here.
Because the word Willie's just funny.
No, because it's like penis. Like anything for you, Willie. I'm trying to find any way whatsoever that's humorous.
I have no idea how.
I just gave you is not funny.
Right.
But perhaps it's the only real explanation. Like anything for you, Willie, you'd start cackling with laughter. I don't know.
That was strange.
I can't tell you what it was.
Well, last night the Bengals beat up on the Ravens 34-23, the final score.
And again, I forgot that was on.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think a lot of people did. AJ Green obviously was unbelievable. I think
they refused to cover him in the first half. He scored. He caught two touchdown passes. They still had him singled up, so he went ahead and caught a third.
I think he had three touchdowns with like half of the second left.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and it's kind of funny. And I know every year everyone thinks this is the year Andy Dalton's going to, make it happen.
No, don't do it. Don't make that mistake.
No. But he has a good offensive line in front of him for the first time in a while.
Remember when the line was on the cover of Sports Illustrated about 4 years ago and it was saying, like, it was the greatest line in football?
There have been a handful of years since Dalton has been there that the Bengals have had great talent. Bert Breer is going to be in this room, I guess, next hour, has said on multiple occasions on this program that he likes Cincinnati, and Cincinnati was loaded. And every year, Andy Dalton throws up on himself.
Sure.
Well, I mean, by the way, Baltimore beat Buffalo 47-3 in week one and was down 28-0 to this team in the first half.
Well, Flacco is, I don't think he's playing quarterback for the whole season. I don't think he's there starting. I mean, you got to give Lamar Jackson a chance because Flacco is completely useless. I mean, I read his stat line. Three picks and a fumble, was it? Or two picks and a fumble?
I think it was two picks and a fumble.
Okay.
Not positive.
All right. Regardless, he did not have a good game.
Well, either way, after the game, Michael Irvin was on the NFL Network with Steve Smith Sr., who rules. I love Steve Smith Sr. And Steve Smith Sr. is one of these guys that I don't think he busts balls. I think he truly gets offended and angry and takes it out on people. And he's got no filter, which I love. So here's Michael Irvin, who I don't think thought this take through because he was talking about the last good receiver that Joe Flacco had was Anquan Boldin. She's been senior played since then.
Yeah.
So this is how things went down.
We battled, man. We had a chance to win.
You have it right there.
I do have it.
at me one of those I trust you receivers. That was Anquan Boat, and that was 2012, and I took it to the Super Bowl. Watch this play of Michael Crabtree right
Steve?
Here. You
what?
See this right here?
What?
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 He
just skipped over Smitty, huh?
I'll get to you, Steve.
Just go
right
skip
here.
Over
play on Michael Crabtree right here. Most young receivers would try to high point this ball and go up and get it because that's what they tell them, or go high point it. And
yeah.
That would have taken him out of bounds.
Yeah.
Michael Crabtree saw this. He measured that ball with what I call his seeing speed, his ability to tell where that ball is going.
Yeah.
Maneuvered his body. That's what I call one of those big guys. Steve, you're bad.
Why are you standing
you
up?
You were bad, man, because my knee hurt.
You right?
When I stand up,
boy, got excited. You stand up.
So you telling me that they ain't had a wide receiver since Anquan?
But Steve, you played that, then you got hurt, so and he had to go through it because you talked about it. Those injuries. I'm with you on
I went through. Yeah, I went through the injuries, bro. Anquan wasn't the only baller out there.
Because
I understand you have the rings, but I passed you statistically years ago.
Hold on.
Hang in there. Enough rings to let all y'all borrow one.
Hang in
still
there.
Have some.
Hang
in there. Everybody on that desk know that.
I concur and I agree with your rings, but
all
at
right.
the same time, it ain't no route I couldn't run that you hoped you could run.
I like the competition still on the side right now.
I got a doctorate in route running.
I like it.
Talk about it.
I got a doctorate.
You know what's a good idea is to interrupt them.
Yeah. Stop. I wish she would just like stay out of it.
Yeah, just stay out of it. Like
let them go.
Why do you interject yourself into that conversation?
I like what's going on right now. Okay, then shut up.
I want to hear these two. It's amping up as it goes on. I like this.
Still on the
I got
set
a,
right now.
I got a doctorate
spicy,
in route runner.
I like it.
Talk about it.
I got a doctorate route. You got
tell
a,
them about
you
it.
You got an associate's degree, play, bro. Let's community college.
They got three rings.
Listen,
absolutely.
Yeah, they got
so
rings.
We've got you covered right here from field level. That's right.
Emma Smith.
Stadium, it's starting to fill up.
Troy
guys.
Aikman.
These two. These
Charles Haley.
Yeah,
some great ones over there.
That's
some great ones.
We got plenty of people.
He's spreading out the rings. He's like, well, maybe it's because you played with these people.
She pulled a Wallach. Hey, be fair. I haven't done that in a while.
It's true.
At least 2 weeks.
All right.
I'll have to keep a calendar. We'll be up, Rich, and how will we finish the hour?
We will finish the hour with some good and bad news for the Boston Celtics.
All right.
Something that I like is I have to go for it. And I like what I see, baby. Come here. I got to be a board on Friday.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Rich, what is going on finally?
Well, it was a strange day yesterday for the Boston Celtics. A good news, bad news type situation. Let's start with the bad news, and it is pretty bad. So Jabari Bird, as we know, has been in trouble with the police. And yesterday he pled not guilty to domestic violence charges at an arraignment that he had in municipal court. But now, since he's been there, the details of his arrest have been released, and it is not good. So he was arrested Saturday in Brighton on charges of domestic assault, strangulation, and kidnapping. And according to reports, Jabari Bird's girlfriend says that he detained her for 4 hours on Friday afternoon in their Brighton apartment. He then allegedly repeatedly kicked her and strangled her roughly a dozen times, including once until she lost consciousness. She reportedly tried hiding under a bed and in a locked bathroom, and when she tried to escape the apartment, he allegedly dragged her back by the ankles. Now, she finally was able to escape when he eventually suffered, quote, seizure-like symptoms and passed out, according to the police report. She reportedly moved him to a bed and fled in a friend's car, and when Bird finally came to, he allegedly texted her and threatened to kill himself if she did not return to the apartment. So the victim told police that Bird struggles with anxiety issues, so an evaluation at St. Elizabeth's Hospital reportedly delayed his arraignment. Originally, it was scheduled for Monday. His bail was set at $100,000. Since then, the Celtics have released a statement saying, most importantly, our thoughts are with the victims of this incident. The Celtics organization deplores domestic violence of any kind, and we are deeply disturbed by the allegation against Jabari Bird. Pursuant to the domestic violence policy in the NBA's labor agreement, matters of this kind are handled by the league office, not the team. And so the Celtics will be working with both the league and local authorities to assist in their ongoing investigations. And then Jabari Bird later on put it on his own statement saying, quote, I'm taking some time away from the team as I deal with my legal and medical issues. Well, how nice of you. He said, I apologize to my family, the Celtics organization, my teammates, the fans, and the NBA for the unnecessary distraction that I have caused. The information that has been released does not tell the full story. I do not condone violence against women. I am hopeful that in due time and process, I will be able to regain everyone's trust. That is a absolute mess. But
I don't know what anxiety issues have to do with strangling someone.
No, I don't know either. But
plenty of people with anxiety issues, myself included, and I don't. That's never led me to violence.
Well, I think that might have been one of the reasons that he wasn't fit to go to court. I believe that might have been one of the reasons why on Monday it was delayed for several days.
All right, so
he
could
find a way to handle him being able to stand in front of a courtroom.
Okay, so he can play basketball in front of tens of thousands of people.
Oh, I agree. It sounds strange, but I also don't know how I've never had anxiety issues, so I don't know how it works, whether there's certain scenarios.
Yes, there are certain. Well, first of all, anyone's going to have anxiety in court. And if you have anxiety issues, your anxiety is going to be very high.
Sure.
But also, you're not like an agoraphobic who hasn't left the house in 20 years. I mean, you're someone who plays basketball on a large stage with consistent pressure, and you're able to handle that. I'm not quite positive how that issue would keep you from going to court. Like, I think even though you two have never had experienced anxiety issues, I think that all of us, if in court, would find it a very stressful and anxiety-filled situation.
Oh, sure, without a doubt, like a normal human being. I get a little bit of anxiety just crossing the border. Like, even like in Canada, when they ask you if you have anything to declare, I just like freak out. I'm afraid I'm going to yell something. It's going to get me arrested. And that's like completely irrational, especially in a place like Canada. Going into Mexico, I drove into there recently too, and I was like, hey, do you declare? Yeah, I have guns! Like, you're afraid you're going to just say something. It's something that goes through your head, but the words don't come out.
So my friend was, speaking of Canada, my friend was so wasted at the Lions-Jets game that this guy behind him was like, hey, and he was a Lions fan. He's like, hey, you know, that guy you got there, Darnold, he looks like a phenom, you know? He's really good. He's throwing the ball all over the place. He looks good. I think there's good things coming for your team. And my friend's like, yeah. And he goes to me, he goes, this guy's effing with me. He's sitting here effing with me. He's talking about the Jets, and he doesn't mean it. And I'm like, dude, he's being nice.
Yeah, he's like it's called being Canadian.
Like, you're so not used to people being nice, because right. He's from New York.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, you're so not used to people being nice. And then he started getting kind of ornery with the guy.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, Tom, this guy is being nice, and like, you're so not used to
There's this magical country where everyone's in a good mood called Canada. This guy should try going
there. And the guy was saying nothing at all. He thought, oh, he's being so nice, he must be being sarcastic.
Well, drove in from Windsor, he's looking for a friend, and look what happened.
Well, I hope he didn't drive in for Windsor. I wouldn't wish that on anyone.
By the way, the good news is, and we'll play the clip later on, but Gordon Hayward had a press conference saying that he is 100%. He's looking forward to getting out there and doing more preseason basketball in order to be ready to go for the home opener.
All right, there will be no commercials, and when we come back, it's the Bankroll Boys. Hey.